I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the words of Chief Seattle, humankind has not woven the web of life. We are but one thread within it. Whatever we do to the web, we do to ourselves. All things are bound together. All things connect. Or in the words of John Muir, when one tugs at a single thing in nature, he finds it attached to the rest of the world. Or as the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, moreover, I am cognizant of the interrelatedness of all communities and states. I cannot sit idly by in Atlanta and not be concerned about what happens in Birmingham. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. Or as Rob Bell puts it in a bit more exaggerated sense, he says, how we eat is connected to how we care for the planet, which is connected to how we use our resources, which is connected to how many people in the world go to bed hungry every night, which is connected to how food is distributed, which is connected to massive inequalities in our world between those who have and those who don't, which is connected to how our justice system treats people who use their power and position to make hundreds of millions of dollars while others struggle just to buy groceries, which is connected to how we treat those who don't have what we have, which is connected to the sanctity and holiness and mystery of our human life and their human life and his human life and her human life. If there's anything that our teachers and leaders and prophets and poets have taught us, it is this one simple truth: that all things connect. In fact, this theme is even resounding in the scripture lessons that we heard today. In the Old Testament lesson, God says, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth that is with you. But it's not just a covenant with people and even the animals, because in that scripture that you heard, I don't know if you caught it, God also said, this is the covenant between me and the earth. This conveys this relationship between God, not just God and humanity, but with God and the whole of God's creation. Similarly, there is an interesting detail in today's gospel lesson that we heard that you could easily overlook. The gospeler writes, and the Spirit immediately drove Jesus out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. We always think of Jesus alone in the wilderness for 40 days, tested by Satan, but he wasn't alone. St. Mark writes about the wild beasts, which are the creatures of the earth, and the angels, which are the creatures of heaven. These were with him. So in his desert journey, he had the companionship that modeled and reflected this interconnectedness between the earth, the beast, the human, and heaven. This connection is illuminated. And I think that that connection of the beasts and the angels with him was a foreshadowing of the kingdom of God. And not surprisingly, when he departs from the desert, the first thing he says is, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. The kingdom has come near. The prophet Isaiah, throughout his book, gives us glimpses of what this kingdom would be like. In Isaiah 2, he says, in the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of mountains and shall be raised above the hills, and the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us in his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn of war any more. And elsewhere he gives us another glimpse of the dimension, not just that peaceful coming together of humans, but Isaiah says, the wolf shall live with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, and the young shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the nursing child play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand in the adder's den. This oneness that we see in that image of the kingdom is the very thing that Jesus said, the kingdom is here. And I am reminded then of the words of the Reverend Martin Luther King, and I echo them again. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. The organization Episcopal Relief and Development has a presence in more than 40 countries around the world and is working to rebuild when there are disasters, is working to empower people and communities to lasting solutions to fight poverty, to end hunger, to address disease. And in 2009, the General Convention of the Episcopal Church declared that Lent is a time designated to remember and support the life-saving work of Episcopal Relief and Development, or ERD. In fact, this very day, today, we join with congregations across the country who are recognizing this not just as the first Sunday of Lent, but as Episcopal Relief and Development Sunday, February 18th, 2018. Congregations around the country are joining hands to support ERD's work through prayers, sermons, and special offerings. In our parish narthex, you may have seen that Lenten meditation booklet. That comes to us as a gift from ERD. Sean McConnell, their senior director of engagement, states, "At Episcopal Relief and Development, we are blessed by partners who nurture some of the world's most vulnerable children. They are people of deep faith and spirit. In this edition of Lenten Meditations, we look to the source of that faith, encountering Christ in the children that they serve." This organization is committed to four main goals: to alleviate hunger and to improve food supply, to create economic opportunities and strengthen communities, to promote health and fight disease, and to respond to disasters and rebuild communities. This Lenten meditation series that you're given focuses on the gifts of children in profound and joyous reflections, recollections from educators, caregivers, parents, grandparents. And really, as you journey through that, you will see that ERD really stands behind the belief that every single person should have access to clean water, no one should go hungry, children and families deserve a healthy start in life, that no one should live in poverty, and that together we can heal a hurting world. What better message for Lent than that, than the work that ERD is doing? In the kingdom of God that Jesus announces in today's gospel lesson, all of those are a reality. If we really embrace and recognize the oneness and connectedness of all life, these issues of hunger and water become priorities of the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. And we pray every single Sunday, we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. So I pray for us that in this Lenten journey, as we sit with these meditations, as we continue to gather to worship together, that this might be a time of introspection, yes, that we might also learn not just to repent of those ways that we have dishonored this oneness and connection to each other, but that we can reflect on our life, and areas in our life and ways that God might call us to action, to concrete and tangible action, to address and heal those bonds and to restore that connectedness between all of life.